We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Monday morning to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program. My name's Bob Arthurs, and I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, where we are striving to be a blessing in everything that we do. And we've got room for you. If you do not have a church home, we would love to have you come be a part of what God is doing. I'm in the process of reinventing myself. The 27 years that I've been there, I've had to focus on building programs and building programs and building programs. And now I get to focus on something else. And so I am so excited about that. And we're looking forward to great days ahead. God was faithful to the first part of the word that he gave us 27 years ago. And I know that he's going to be faithful for that latter part as well. So if you are looking for a church that preaches the word of God, believes the word of God, wants to raise up people and equip them for the work of the ministry, that's what we are striving to do at Merritt Assembly of God. And we would love to have you be a part of that. So I want to start off today by saying thank you to Creative AC Solutions. 321-759-3284. 321-759-3284. You know, one of the problems with being an air conditioning and heater service company is that you are always working in the opposite conditions of what everybody is looking for. So if people are wanting to keep their house cool, that means that probably their system is not working and now you are working in the heat. And in the wintertime, when people are wanting their houses nice and warm and toasty, you are outside having to work or inside having to work on a system that is not functioning up to the capacity that they would like it to. So Creative AC Solutions, for years now, they have been doing exactly what needed to be done, when it needed to be done. And if you're in the central part of Brevard County and your AC is something that you want to keep you cool, not just yesterday, but in the days ahead as well, give them a call. They can come out, take a look, see what is wrong. They may even be able to give you pointers, you know, just by you telling them what is going on. 321-759-3284, 321-759-3284. I know that that is possible because he did that for me. He said, this is what it probably is. And I said, okay, well, let's have you come out and take that. It literally, because I was able to describe to him the problem, he had an idea of what the solution was before he ever showed up. So when he arrived, he had that part with him, and he popped off the cover. He held it up, and he said, you see this? That's not supposed to look like this. It's supposed to look like this over here. Let me give you another tip. This is just a Bob Arthurs-ism, and this works for car situations, and it works for air conditioning situations as well. If your car or your air conditioner is making a funny noise, I want to encourage you to do this. Take your phone and record what it's doing. Because if you are trying to mimic the sound for the person, you're going to fail miserably. You're going to say, it sounds just like a click, 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 click. And when actually it sounds like a, you know. And so take your phone and record it while it is doing the problem. And a good service technician like Creative AC Solutions, they will be able to hear. And that will give them tremendous insight into what is going on there. Same thing with a car. If you can record it while it is doing it, a good mechanic knows the different sounds that are going on there with the car. So you can take that or leave it. But if you do need AC work, 321-759-3284. So into the Word of God we dive today, back into Isaiah chapter 56. Isaiah chapter 56. We're going to begin reading today in verse number 4. For thus says the Lord to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths and choose what pleases me and hold fast my covenant, even to them I will give in my house and within my walls a place and a name. That's where we ended on Friday. Better than that of sons and daughters, I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Also the sons of the foreigner who join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord to be his servants, everyone who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and holds fast my covenant, even them I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. The Lord God, who gathers the outcasts of Israel, says, yet I will gather to him others besides those who are gathered to him. So I want you to see that the word that is used there under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit through the prophet Isaiah is that the outcasts of Israel are going to have a vital part in the house of God. The outcasts, the rejects of society. And so I want to encourage you today that if other people have spoken badly to you, if you don't come from the right side of the tracks, or you don't come from anywhere near the tracks, and people have said, well, you're not going to fit because of this, I want you to understand, God says, I have got a spot for you in the kingdom of God. All we've got to do is let God transform us by his grace into what he wants us to be. I refuse to allow any sin to prevail in my life, because that prevailing sin is a preventative of me becoming the person that God wants me to be. So I don't need to cling to sin. I need to cling to the sin forgiver. I need to cling to Jesus. And I say, thank you for setting me free from that, so that I am not an outcast I may be an outcast by society, but I'm not going to be cast out by God. If society views you as an outcast, that's one thing. That's one level. But you don't care really on an eternal scale what society has to say for you. You want to know what God has to say toward you. And he was telling these people from a foreign background, these people who other people thought were fruitless and worthless people, they couldn't add anything to the equation. He says, no, you are not outcast, you're trendsetters. You're trendsetters. So look at what he says here. To the people who keep my Sabbaths, and he goes on down here, and he uses them as an example, and he says, everyone who keeps from defiling the Sabbath. That's in verse number 6. He says, and choose what pleases me and hold fast my covenant. And in verse number 6, he uses that again and says, and hold fast my covenant. Everyone, he says, you are not outcast. You're the examples. You're the role models that I'm looking for. See, if you are in some careers, in that career, you are promoted on the concept of longevity. How long have you been with the company, instead of on the concept of merit? In the kingdom of God, a person could get saved today, and because of their passionate, relentless pursuit of the things of God, they could surpass me and you within a short period of time, because they are driven into the presence of God. They realize what a great deliverance that God has brought into their life, and they want everything that God has for them. Several years ago, I had a medical condition, and it was a step-by-step process. And I was a very determined and very motivated, compliant patient. And so even though I was late to the party to the point that the doctor said you should have come and seen me sooner, which is actually kind of funny because it was an eye problem at that time. Now that I think about it, that's the first time that's ever dawned on me. But I was very driven to see my eyesight restored. And so I wasn't looking for the easy way out. I was looking for the best way out. And so there were people who had been in the program longer than I was, but I ended up leapfrogging them in my restoration process, thanks be to God. So, I pray that they all had their vision restored and all of that sort of stuff. I wasn't praying for my healing. It wasn't a race for me against them. One of us was going to win, one of us was going to lose. I wanted all of them to win. And so I want all of us to cling to the Word of God and to the covenant, because when that happens, listen to what God says in verse number 5. He says, even to them I will give in my house and within my walls a place and a name. We talked about that. Better than that of sons and daughters, I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. This, we're talking about God's house. It's His house. It's His rules. And it's His blessings. And He says, when you are sold out, when you are living as an example to other people of what it is like to long to be part of what God is doing, long to be part of His house, not to miss out on anything, He said, I am going to give you an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. You know, I had a conversation with a person, and they were describing the industry that they were in and what a radical change that was going on in that industry. And I will tell you this, and it had to do with this, that because society had changed, no one was willing to do the upkeep that was necessary, and no one was remembering the people who had gone before. There was no one who was remembering things that were, you would think, oh man, you're going to be remembered forever. Not in this world. Not in this world. But God says, look, the things that you do for me, the things that you do in my house, He says, I'm going to give you a name. Now listen, when God gives you a name, He takes you up a notch. He says, you're a Peter, you're a rock, and upon this rock I will build my church. You are no longer going to be called Abram, you're going to be called Abraham. You're going to be the father of many nations. You're not going to be Jacob, you're going to be Israel. You're not going to be a slanderer or a deceiver. You are going to be a prince of God. He takes you and he says, look, your name's not going to be Saul anymore. You're going to be Paul. He gives you an identity, and that identity, He says, I'm going to give you a name, and it's never going away. The things that God does for us. Let's look at verse number 6. Also the sons of the foreigner who join themselves to the Lord to serve Him. Okay? To serve Him. Let me share a pastor's heart here for just a moment. This isn't from a personal situation that I'm dealing with or anything like that. It is just a teachable moment here in the Word of God. And so I want to share with people who are probably a large number of them are in other congregations and there by design and serving there happily. And so I just want to help you out here, okay? The sons of the foreigner who join themselves to the Lord to serve Him. Okay? Everything we do to serve is to be for the glory of God. Now, with that being said, we cannot afford to do what took place in Matthew chapter 21 to the house of God the same way that they did. They took a place of service, which is also worship, and they turned it into a consumer industry. They consumed, they devolved it, if you will, into something that was just a place of transaction. I've got something to sell, and you've got something you need to buy. Let's make a deal. That's what had happened in the house of God. The house of God is meant to be a place where we discover and implement God's design for how we are to serve Him. Not every, you know, some people really struggle with this concept. Not every act of service is the same. So I've had people that said, look, if there's something going on at church and it doesn't benefit me, I'm not going to be there. Well, those same people, when there was something that was going on where they were serving, they wanted other people to be there. They said, wait a minute, because I'm serving, this is going to be beneficial to them. And the other thing about that is that they never got the understanding that their being there was actually an encouragement, and they were watching the growth of someone in the process. Barnabas had the gift of encouragement. I'm sure that Paul wasn't perfect in all of his serving, but Barnabas was there to help pick up the pieces in his life. Ananias was there supporting, and Barnabas was the guiding force in Saul's life there, so that he understood what it was like and what it cost to serve God. So the pastor is there to serve God. The worship leader is there to serve God. And so a lot of times people will say, well, I don't like the music. I'm just going to pick on, you know, the thing that is the most frequently used. I don't like the music there. I don't know the words to the song. You know what? There's a lot of times where I'm worshiping the Lord. I've got my eyes closed. And you know what happens when I close my eyes? I'm not reading the words on the screen, and I may sing the wrong words. Shh, don't tell anybody, because I'm not with a microphone there. You know what I'm doing? I'm not fixated on whether or not the words were right. I'm there to exalt the Lord God. So God says, to those who love the name of the Lord to be His servants, and He goes on, everyone who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and holds fast my covenant, we've talked about that already, even them I will bring to my holy mountain. I believe that God has a destination for us, a journey for us, that if we will allow Him to bring us to where He wants to go, we will find that is a much better place than demanding God take us where we want to go. If we will allow God to bring us, I'm saying it again, bring us to where He wants us to go, instead of demanding that He take us where we want to go, I believe we will find that it is a much better place and a much better journey. He says, I'm going to bring them to my holy mountain. God is constantly looking to bring those redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. He's looking to bring us together under His lordship. Okay? God hates division. You know, it's kind of like math class. God hates division. Okay, that was a math joke. Sorry. We like multiplication. God likes multiplication, but He doesn't like division. And I believe that that's true inside the body of Christ as much as it is outside of the body of Christ. God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So he's looking to reconcile us all under the banner of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what will God do? God will give us an everlasting name. He will make us more fruitful for eternity than human beings thought possible. He will bring us to that place of worship and that place of unity with the brothers and sisters in Christ. And he goes on and he says this, and make them joyful in my house of prayer. So I want to ask you to do a little bit of assessment right now. And I want to ask you this question. How joyful are you? How joyful are you? You know, the world says, you know, if you drink this beverage, if you consume this product, if you wear this brand, if you drive this model of car, if you live in this neighborhood, if this is your career choice, we promise you satisfaction that other people are going to covet. That's a lie. Joy is the fruit of the Spirit. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So I want to ask you today, as a born-again believer, would you be more accurately labeled angry or joyful? God wants you to be joyful. I have a picture, and I probably told this story before, of my mother's church when she was a little girl. I mean, little girl. And the church actually burned down the night this picture was taken. Big church, that pastor was my mom's pastor. I think he did my parents' wedding, and he since passed away. And the church is really, really full. I don't know what was going on that day, but there's a lot of people in there. And I have looked over that picture. The reason that I looked it over is my mom said, "Can you find me in there?" And she said, "This is a relative, that's a relative, this is a relative over here," and all of that. And I scanned all of that picture looking for my mother. And one thing I noticed was that there wasn't anyone in there smiling except for one boy who had a grin on from ear to ear. I don't know who he was. I don't know what was going on, but I tell you, out of everybody in that picture, I want what he had. I want what he had. Too many Christians go around as if they're mad at the world and they've been baptized in lemon juice than if they've had their sins forgiven, filled with the joy of the Lord, and they look like they're mad at the world. God says, "I will make them joyful." You say, "You don't know what I've been through," but I do know what God can work through. I do know what he can make you into. I like to watch some programs now. As I'm telling you this is my last week of television. I have disconnected my television, and I'm perfectly fine with that. Television doesn't have it doesn't hold the allure to me that it once did, and I said I'm not going to pay for it, and so this is the week that I say bye-bye. With that being said, I liked a program called Barnwood Builders, and they go in and they are the bridge between the people who own a barn that is deteriorating and is no longer needed and the people who want to make the barn into something contemporary and useful. And normally what happens is they will find something as they're going through there, and they will have a project that is that takes some of the scraps, some of the leftovers, some of the outcasts, if you will, and they make something out of it that they can present to the family and say, you know what, this is what we did. God does that for things in our life. He takes something that is maybe tragic. You know, I'm no stranger to tragedy. I've been fired. So if you've been fired, I can tell you that God will bless you even after somebody has told you hit the road, Jack. I've experienced loss. I've experienced financial hardship. I've driven horrifically ugly cars. I drive a very comfortable car now, 2016. But it was a blessing. Somebody blessed me with it, and they don't even go to my church. And you know what we do? We've blessed people with vehicles, and they don't even go to our church. We just want to be a blessing. And God can take heartache and pain, and if we will allow him, he can take the ashes that life deals to us, and he can make something beautiful out of that. He turns beauty to ashes, he turns ashes into something beautiful. Got that backwards there in my mouth. What will you allow God? Will you allow him to give you a fruitful ministry, even though other people said, I don't think you're ever going to be able to produce fruitful ministry? Will you allow him to bring you to his destination for you, or are you going to insist on you being the one that makes that choice? And will you allow him to make you jubilant, fill you with the joy of the Lord inside the house of God? That's what he says, and make them joyful in my house of prayer. I will tell you, my wife, several years ago, she had a birthday. It was a milestone birthday. And she said, whatever you do, I don't want you to do a big to-do for me or anything like that. And we had a ladies event scheduled the very next day. So we said, we're going to go to the restaurant. And then, you know, if you want to swing by and see how the kids have decorated the church, fine, we'll do that. And she said, okay, we'll do that. Well, the very thing that she didn't want was the very thing that we had put together. And we had a surprise party that was waiting there for her. And the thing that she thought she didn't want actually ended up being a time of great joy as she celebrated a milestone with the saints that she loves and the ladies she serves so diligently. I want to encourage you, God's going to make your life joyful. He wants to fill us with joy. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Change me to be